allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a moment of silence for our service personnel. Thank you.
Sergeant Martin tonight.
So roll call, Director Sanderson?
Here.
Director Israel?
Here.
And Director Wargo?
Here.
Director Davis?
Here.
And Director Link?
Here. You had something for closed session. We'll table that until the attorney arrives. So the whole business, Sustainable Groundwater Act, update. Data, you haven't done anything with that yet, right? There's one meeting yet.
Excuse me.
That's not me.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, Director Link. Can we go to the consent calendar first?
I think it is a pass, I'm sorry. Is there any comment on the Sustainable Groundwater?
We're showing a break and
okay.
In fact, in the meeting will be next week.
Okay.
You forgot roll call and consent calendar.
Oh.
No, we did roll call.
We did roll call.
It's okay, consent calendar.
Can we?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just trying. I like I said, I work crazy and I didn't get to
sleep.
Okay,
you go to sleep and I'll take over.
Okay, approval of finance non-committee minutes, the warrants, and regular board meetings.
I make the motion to approve.
Whoa. Are you going to approve the regular board?
This is Director Sanderson. Are you going to approve the regular board meeting minutes?
That's what I just asked for.
Okay, so I'm not going to say nay until I get a comment.
Well, wait a minute. She asked, she.
Not finance and audit.
Right. Well, okay.
I second that motion for finance
and
audit.
Approval of the regular board meeting minutes and warrants. No, they're both going to be approved or disapproved at the same time. We're consolidating the approval and the that. Okay. So you have a comment?
I do. It has to do with the arrival time of individuals during the meeting. I know that the arrival time for Director Wargo was indicated, but not the arrival time for our chairman.
Okay.
Should be 6:07. If you want to do one, do it for the other, then it's only fair. Okay, that's my only comment.
Okay.
Sure. Comment on the finance and audit committee. We have a questionable bill that we're still going to that we haven't signed yet.
That's not for the minutes, though, right?
Oh.
It's separate from the
minutes?
Okay.
I move that we approve both.
We need a motion to approve, so is that what you're asking? Can I make a motion? Okay.
So, a motion to approve.
That's correct.
As corrected, made by Director Sanderson, with our second director.
I second.
Okay, thank you. So roll call vote or approval vote, Director Sanderson.
Aye.
Director Israel.
Aye.
Director Wargo.
Aye.
Director Davis.
Aye.
Director Link.
Aye. There's no warrants, no awards, contracts. Updates, the San Gabriel Pass Water Alliance.
That meeting's on the 24th.
Okay. So there's no updates.
No updates.
Operations report by the manager.
We had a rupture 8-inch line that goes into the Lucas. That's something that's been going on since I've been here for the last 14 years, and finally broke again, and we were able to obtain a sleeve and put a band-aid on it, and I have the crew working on abandoning that line. probably about maybe $15,000 to $20,000 to abandon that line. I'm going to contact Kugel. They specialize in mine stopping, and just because that line runs directly up to tank one, which is north of the 10, and comes all the way down underneath the freeway. And for some reason, I don't know if DeLucas was around when they laid the pipeline, but it goes all the way underneath the freeway, not the freeway, but the railroad tracks, continuing south to the Bonita pressure reduction station. So we're going to just go ahead and abandon that. As far as the vault, we need some positive shutdown, so we're going to have some valves replaced at Orange and Bonita and Magnolia and Bonita, and that should give us a positive shutdown. And in the meantime, we're just going to have to get religious and just pray, make sure that vault is our QRV and the play valve just doesn't swing it out of leave.
Excuse me, I understand you're going to do some work on the vault too, or?
We need to replace that vault. I mean, I thought you were, populated your seat at the last year. I informed the board that the walls of that casing, or the cement casing, is starting to crumble.
I saw it there even a couple years ago. It was,
it's about that time, and we estimated probably to replace that vault and all the infrastructure by about $20,000 to $30,000.
And about what time down the road, so to speak?
It's earmarked for maybe March, April. The holdup is not only getting a positive stop, which is, you know, finding and locating the gate valves and replacing it if they're bad, as I said, on Bonita and Orange, Bonita and Magnolia, is some unforeseen rupture line going underneath the Tacoma property at 5100 Main Street. You know, that goes right underneath this warehouse, and that line ruptures again, and we don't catch it.
Yeah,
you know, undermining, you know, the liability to the district here. Also, I passed out Creamer Stewart, our engineering rates. They've been readjusted. So, at your convenience, you guys can review the new rates. And we had just, in November, I had announced all our water operators are now officially certified as distribution grade 2. And as I said and speculated before, it's like policemen and firemen, they go to a smaller agency, they get their pulse, and they up and leave. Now we have one person that submitted his two-week notice, and he's going to the Morongo Water District for $7 more an hour. So we're looking at working with Cindy and Ellie and readjusting the rates, and also offer a 410 work schedule, and perhaps other things that more that we can attract and retain the valuable employees, because having the one that lasted 9 months, he by the time he obtained his certificate, the district had invested about $8,900, and we got 9 months worth of work out of it.
I know some agencies, you don't mind me asking, they have an agreement that's signed that they will stay employed for a certain period of time after they receive their certification. Police departments do that, I don't know for a fact. So I'm just curious, maybe if that's a possibility, that could be part of the contract take the train, maybe you might consider that.
Yeah, once Cindy and Ellie and I work out and get our ducks in a row, Skip set adjusted hourly rates, and also whatever else we can add to the package that's affordable, and then I would take that package to our labor attorney,
right,
and I will ascertain from him his opinion on retention as far as signing a commitment to up to 3 years, or maybe if they leave anything like within a year, they have to reimburse the district, and I'll see what. And don't forget, you know, everybody here other than management is represented, so after when that's all said, before I start recruiting, we also need to meet and confer with SEIU.
But it's something that could be done possibly.
I'm earmarked for having a new employee on the job by March. Ellie and I and everybody else that's involved in management, we have our place where we feel just that.
And it's smooth things out a little bit. That's my comment. That's the purpose of my comments.
And that's my report for this board meeting.
Okay, public comment. Any person may address the board of directors at any time of the matter within the subject matter of the district, but it cannot be anything on the agenda. Does anybody have any public comment they want to make?
Could you recognize this young lady here? She's here. She has, I don't know if she has any formal to say, just like introduce herself.
Sure.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm Erica Harnick, and I'm with the Building Industry Association. I'm the Coachella Valley rep of Riverside County Chapter. I just want to say thank you for keeping us informed with all the capacity charges. We want to work with you. I unfortunately don't have my cards, but after the meeting, if I can get your cards, I would love to all email you so you have my information. Again,
well, we're cheap. We don't have cards, so we'll just have to get that. Yeah, we need that new job. Okay. Since the attorney's not here, we'll table the closed session. We'll stay in open session, old business, so the Sustainable Groundwater Act. You have no report, correct? Okay. Review and adoption of the water capacity charge model and fees related to new business.
That's the documents we have in front of us.
It's this one here.
Capacity charge.
It's this one, right?
That's the audit, so it'd be like we could go into that while they're working on their technical difficulties.
So are we talking about this?
That's his, and then that's mine.
Just tell me what to look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this
one?
I can't read it.
Okay, so this one is the audit. This one here?
I'm going to rearrange.
And then this one here is the capacity fee.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the audit. We're going to talk about the audit, right?
If I'm directed to, yes. Okay.
We'll do this one.
So.
Under new business, this should be the first packet.
Okay.
Annual audit presentation.
I'm sorry, I'm happy to go. I just thought you needed to formally rearrange the agenda.
No.
Okay, I'm cool. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. So the auditor couldn't be here tonight. He has the flu like everybody else in this hemisphere. So I'm here to present the audit for you. We had a clean audit. A clean audit's a good audit. It means that they went through and looked at all of our accounting records to make sure we followed the proper procedures, which are called GAAP, which is Generally Accepted Accounting Procedures. They looked at several items. They were very good to work with. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, okay.
They were great to work with. Anyways, we had a good audit. Nothing substantial to talk about. I would actually tell you that the way we ended the year was still at a negative. So when I look at a district, I'll look at the end of the year and I'll look at their revenues minus their expenses, and we ended at negative $140,000, but that was an improvement over the prior year. And as the board adopted those rate adjustments, they're going to start to catch up, and you're going to start to see that turn around into a positive. So it still looks like a negative story, but it's moving in the positive direction. If you look at the change in cash still went down by $72,000 for the year, which sounds like a lot, but the prior year was $180,000. So that's a significant improvement. So you are moving in the right direction. There were no new huge standards this year, and there was nothing really remarkable about the audit, but I can answer any questions if you like. I have read all the footnotes. They're fascinating. Happy to elaborate on any of them if you would like.
Chairman,
any questions from anybody?
Yes. I have a question. Of the Cindy
Byron. Please to me.
Is there a sources and uses of funds statement in here?
It kind of is. If you look at page 13. So it's 13 of the audit.
Oh.
That's called the statement of cash flows. And that's
citizen.
Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was indicating that negative cash is not as bad.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
So I believe this is probably a receive and file item.
I'm sorry, what?
Is this a receive and file?
Does not require an approval, just receive and file.
Oh, no, this does approve. This does require approval.
No, it's just an information.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, information.
No.
Well, wait a minute. Annual audit, it's just a presentation of the audit. Doesn't say here whether it's action item or not.
It's discussion action. It is
right,
a discussion.
But what action? Are we going to approve?
Approve the audit.
I need a motion to approve or not approve the audit as presented.
I make a motion to approve the audit as presented.
I have a question. Are we supposed to approve the draft, or is there anything?
If anything were to change, it'll come back next meeting. Whether it's a word, a document, any type of number, or any type of word, Chris will come back next meeting. What he does, though, is he presents it in a draft and allows you to make comments. And if you didn't like a particular word that was in there and said, hey, Chris, change it to this, he'd be happy to do it. So that's why he labels it draft, lets you approve it, then he goes and binds it all up. And then labels it final. So it really is the final if you approve it.
Well, is he going to go over it a little bit more in detail?
He can. He offered to come back next month. There's things I can go over in more detail. I know a lot about the numbers, but if you'd rather hear from him, honestly, he's happy to come back next month.
And audit we're paying for, right?
Mm-hmm. I totally understand. He's got his whole spiel and.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to pay?
Well, yes, it's possible. But just you would like a presentation from the auditor?
Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean, because we have 20.
Okay, we'll just go ahead and table it until it's not a make or break. We don't have to do it this meeting, so we'll just go ahead and table it.
Okay.
I just have to stay on the statement table.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll go ahead and. So you got bumped, sir.
Sorry for the delay.
Yeah, okay. It happens. you like to proceed, sir?
Sure. So my name is Greg Henry. You may remember me from the reset interview all that long ago. So I'm back to do an update to your water capacity fee charge. So just generally speaking, what we're going to cover, we're going to do an overview of what the capacity fee is, what the capacity charge is, and we're going to talk about the calculation that we did specifically for the Cabazon Water District, and then some next steps to finalize this and close it out. So what is a connection fee? A connection fee is for new customers who are connecting into the system. It's a payment that they make at the time of their connection so that they can buy in, that's the first bit, that to the existing value of the system, so that they're paying their fair share for their access to the assets which already exist that they're going to be taking advantage of. There's a second part or methodology called incremental cost. So that would be the cost for new stuff that you need to build for the additional capacity that allows them to connect. So commonly you would say, well, if somebody's going to be coming in, a large customer, and you don't produce enough water, so we're going to put a new well in the ground for that new customer, so we can produce enough water for that customer. That would be a cost, a future planned capital asset that they would need to pay for as part of joining. The third methodology is the combined approach. That's where you mix both things so that the customers are paying for both their fair share of the existing assets and their fair share of future assets altogether. And for this analysis, we did a combined approach. So we're going to walk through both the part where we calculated their buy-in and the part where we calculated their incremental cost. So just real quick, looking at the current fee. So it's table four in it's the summary of impact charges. There's a basic facility charge, a distribution charge, a service connection charge that all get added together. So the update to the capacity fee charge is going to be replacing these two elements, the red, the market red. The service connection charge will remain and hasn't been updated. And what the service connection charge is it's the cost, the direct cost for connecting a new customer. So it's generally related to time and materials. So it's the time for the guy to go out there and screw the new meter in the ground and the cost of the new meter for that person to connect to the system. So that's not part of the capacity fee charge, and so we didn't update that part. So the gray box potentially could remain. It's really up to the district. It would be added on top of the capacity fee charge. And there's an important distinction as well. There are parts of the capacity fee charge that are restricted, so the revenue that you collect from that has to be used in certain ways. The service connection charge is totally unrestricted revenue, so you can use that however you like. Yes, ma'am.
Is this ours?
Yes, this
or
is your.
Is this something this, that we've been doing tonight?
No, this is your, I pulled this straight out of your documents. So, right. So
this is our old?
This is your old. Okay. And so the part in red is the part that we're going to be swapping out. So, the first bit that we want to do is we want to look at sort of like the existing customers, the size of the existing system. We scale everybody based off of their meter equivalence, which is based off of the maximum safe flow for a meter size. So you have your 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters. That's your, obviously, your most common meter, 816 of those. And they have a flow of 20, maximum safe flow of 20 gallons per minute. And then you have varying, different sub-size meters, so going from 3/4 inch all the way up to 12 inches. And you can see that the amount of a flow for the 12-inch meter is vastly greater than that of a 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter. And so when we talk about meter equivalence, what we're trying to say is how many 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters is a 12-inch meter equal to? And so based off of the maximum flow, it's 265. So just one 12-inch meter can potentially put the same amount of demand on your system that 265 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters do.
And so what we want to do is just get a sense of how big the whole system is. When we add it all up, even though you have 885 meters, the system equivalent is as if you have 1,489 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters, if that's all you have in the system. So these numbers are slightly different from what we presented at the rate study, and that's because the utility's own meters are included here, and they weren't in the rate study because you can't charge yourself for your own use of water. Does that make any sense to everybody? Great. So what we want to do is we want to allocate costs based off of how much the new customers represent. And so talking with staff, over the next 5 years, we anticipate 10 new connections over that 5-year period. So if we take the current number of meter connections and we add 10 more, we would get to 1499. And those 10 units would represent 0.7% of the whole system. So if over the next 5 years you have those 10 units connect, they will their representation of the total capacity of the system would be 0.7%. Yes, ma'am.
Are you saying 10 residentials or 10 commercial or 10?
Great, great question. So it's 10 meter equivalents. So it's 10 5/8 by 3/4 equivalents. So that might be one, so let's go back one. It's some combinations of these things. So it could be 4 1-inch meters because the 1-inch meters are worth 2.5. But the assumption that the base assumption was that it would be 2 single family, so it would be 2 of the base meter every year. But it's some combination of this that gets the 10.
So it's the flow factor.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So how many is, what size is like Dollar General?
1 inch. So they're a 1 inch. So that's a 2.5. Okay. So yeah, it's like as if they have 2.5 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters.
There's no fire flow or fire sprinkler systems put into this category.
Okay. Great question. So fire systems are excluded from this charge because fire systems, as part of their monthly fee, it's basically assumed that that's part of what they're paying for is their system connection. So because they have a monthly fee without any anticipated use, they're excluded from the capacity calculation. Okay, so system buy-in. So this is the primary component for this analysis, just because there's not a whole lot of CIP planned. So system buy-in is this proportional buy-in to the existing value of the system. We went through we got the numbers from Cindy. Well, basically, we look at all your capital assets. So those depreciate over time. So we take the original cost, we look at the depreciation, then we look at the asset less depreciation. So that's commonly known as book value. So that's just the raw amount that the accountants say that the asset is worth. The problem with that analysis is if it's a very old asset, the book value doesn't represent the cost to replace in any way, shape, or form. So what we do is we take into consideration that things inflate in cost over time. So that's called the replication value. So what we do is we take the asset values, and there's something called the Handy Whitman Index, and it values different, it looks at the inflation costs for different types of water assets over time. So it knows the difference between pipes versus vehicles versus plant versus wells, that sort of thing. We went through each of the assets and we assigned them to an inflation category based off of the Handy Whitman Index, and then we looked at the values in today's dollars. So we did the asset in today's dollars, the depreciation in today's dollars, and what remains then would be the system buy-in cost basis, which is the inflated book value. So there's a lot of calculation. So with that, we did that by looking at every single asset in the asset list and assigning them to a specific category. Any questions?
Yeah, so the system buy-in cost that's over on the far right,
mm-hmm.
at 12,000, is that based on a 5/8 meter unit or
Well, so that, so the system assets, the existing value has nothing to do with systems, you know, like the system distribution. On the next slide, we'll see how those two things tie together. But basically, you can look at, so if you look at the asset bus depreciation, it gets you to about $7.699 million versus the $12.389 million. So that's the inflation due to the fact that assets, you know, a pipe, it costs more to put a pipe in the ground today than it did 20 years ago when we put it in the ground. So that's basically what that's doing. So we're taking into consideration that things cost more today than when we bought them. So we account for both depreciation and inflation at the same time.
I have one question about the dollar amounts. On the far right, the tools and equipment starts at 123 and the buy-ins at 4752. Office equipment 7188 on the far right is 2544. It just seems like a substantial difference to the buy-in.
You mean, so you're saying the asset less depreciation versus the system buy-in?
The system buy-in cost.
Compared to?
The initial cost of those two assets, the initial cost, those two items, office furniture and equipment, tools and equipment together, 190, and they go down to 24. If you add 24.
So that's due to depreciation. So in particular, equipment.
Okay, so let me understand. I misunderstood. I thought that was, this is not market value, but it's similar to market value. It's just a buy-in cost basis. Okay.
So what you want to do is compare this number.
Correct. To that number. Okay. And so tools and equipment. Okay, I see what
you're saying. Okay. That helps. They depreciate and remain.
Okay, that helps. The replication
these
values.
Go up, right, and these go up slightly. But
the replication value is more similar to the market value.
So the system buy-in basis is similar to the book value at market value, which is, so it has two things, depreciation taking it down and inflation taking it back up. So that's why it doesn't necessarily tie to the asset cost.
Okay, thank you.
So the next category that we have is we carry over the system buy-in cost basis, and we're allocating that, those percentages, and this is where we tie into the single family, the 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter percentages. So if you remember in the slide earlier, we anticipated that in the future, the new customers will represent 0.7% of the system size. And so we allocated the percentage of the assets to them off of that percentage. So for take building and structures, for example, we had the system buy-in cost basis of $10,140. 0.7% of that would be $68. So $68 was allocated to those future customers. And that was done for all the different types of assets.
Now, is that
0.7
derived from the 816 connections that we have?
Yes, ma'am.
So it's divided by that plus the...
Right, so let's go back, because that's actually good. So again, so where that's coming from is you have $1,489 right now, you have $1,499 in the future under this analysis. So of the $1,499, 10 of those would represent 0.7%. So that's how much they get. So for each of those assets, when you add that all together, the future customers' system buy-in, they've been allocated as $82,650. So that's the buy-in part. So that's the first part of the analysis. The second part is the plan, the incremental cost, the future costs they need to participate in. So there's the vehicles, property and prep, and then meter replacement. So you'll notice that for meter replacement, we'll go to that one first, 100% of meter replacement costs are allocated to existing customers. And that's because there's a meter is per customer, new customers won't need a replaced meter, so they don't have any ability to take advantage of the meter replacement program. Since they don't get any advantage from it, they don't get any of the costs associated. But the other two elements, so the vehicle and the property prep, those are allocated again off of their percentage of future system, anticipated future system representation. So that's the 0.7%. So we did that for those two things. You add that together and you get $1,135 that are allocated to future customers for planned or incremental costs.
Is that the only future customer percent allocation that differs from the 0.07?
That's correct.
So there's nothing else like where it's new meters or, you know, that new installation is going to take this much more percentage of
In an ideal world, you would have each of your assets valued at, well, you know, we have a 4-inch main that has 50% of its capacity available, and the new customer will be representing 20%. And you would do that for your entire asset list, but that information doesn't exist. And so because we don't have that level of detail, we have to approximate the best that we can, and that's for their fair share of anticipated use. Any questions? Great. So the next component is cash. So cash is an asset similar to a pipeline. So we allocate cash exactly the same way that we would deploy a pipeline, because it's an asset that we get to take advantage of that already exists in the system. So at the beginning of this fiscal year, you have $580,000 in beginning cash. So 0.7% of that would be $3,869 in that. Asset value was also allocated to future customers. So that's a little trickier to get your mind around. You're thinking of, but you should just think of cash as an asset. Cash is something valuable. We know exactly how valuable it is because it's cash. But
is the 580,
or
where is that number
from? So that's from the CAFA, or from your financial statement.
So we're projecting that the future is the same as it is now?
Well, so we're assuming, like, so that's a great point. All of the numbers have to be based off of some point in time. So we started the start of this fiscal year for all of our calculations. So if everything's in 2017 dollars, that's the level of inflation that we took your current assets to, that's the amount of depreciation that we took the current assets to, and that's the cost of the future projects. So the CIP projects are in at $2017. So everything is tied around sort of a July 1, 2017 cost basis.
And it seems that we're taking a current number and instead of taking the 10 times that times inflation, and what that would be if people are projecting what is current to the future customers, earning less on the existing customers than the same amount of cash.
Right, so the analysis assumes basically, even though we say over the next 5 years, the calculations are such that it says, assuming that they connect today, there's a part that you can use, and it's mentioned in the report, people update their connection fee by using ENR, which is a engineering news report, inflation factor, or you could do the handwritten reallocation again to update the final number in the analysis each year to keep it more current, to move the dollar amount forward. That's something that the board could consider to keep it up to date. So given that condition, we're using the 2017 start basically for everything, which is why the beginning cash is there. So one component that needs to be considered is one of the things that the district did is it went out and purchased capital assets with debt. So if I'm a new connecting customer and you're making me buy into the capital, that's what the connection fee does, or connection capacity charge does, makes me buy into the system for the value of the assets as calculated. But then once I'm a member of the district, I'm paying my fee, which goes towards paying the debt, which was used to purchase the asset, I'm paying for that asset twice. So to offset the fact that I will be paying the debt once I connect to the system, we look at the outstanding principal of your existing debt, which was used, you know, to purchase the capital assets, and we net that out. So this is in favor of your new connecting customers. And we included the DHPO buyback because what the DHPO buyback is covering is the assets which are included in the connect. So those are, again, assets that we're calculating and assigned to those customers. So the adjustment for cost basis, and we only consider the principal, not the interest on the debt, is $6,300. So this is going to be a negative you'll see on the next step. So it's to reduce the charge. So we broke it into two parts, the buy-in and the expansion. So for the buy-in, if you remember, it was $82.65 for the total asset value. For the capital assets, the cash was $3,869. You see the negative for the offset for the long-term debt, and that brings it to a total of $8,224 for the buy-in portion. And then for the expansion portion, which we've kept separate, it's $1,135. So this is just a summary of all the other tables that we went through sort of to get to the totals. So the methodology is you take the cost that you've assigned to your new customers, you divide it by the number of new customers, and you get what you need to charge each of your new customers. In this case, the math is easy because we have a nice round number of 10. So we took so if you take $80,224 and divide by 10, you get $8,022. That's the charge per meter equivalent. And then the $1,135 turns into $114 because there's so all we're doing is taking the first two columns, so second and third columns, we divide by the middle column, and we get the values there.
Right. You have this value, you divide by that value, you get that value. You have this value, you then divide by that value, you get that value.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so basically what we then do is we scale everything because it was based off of the 5/8 by 3/4 inch, right? That's the meter equivalents. And then we have the exact same thing sort of from that first table that we showed. Here's the ratio of things. And you can see what the total charge is per meter by meter size here on this slide. So 1 inch meter pays 2.5 times what a 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter pays. So as such, they would pay $20,340 to the $8,134 that a 5/8 by 3/4.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Because of the state law and the laws about fire suppression systems that are happening in all new homes, that's basically going to require a larger meter to begin with. So how is that going to affect these numbers down the road? Because we're going to end up having to put 3/4 inch meters in all homes minimum to maintain fire flow.
This is a question, you know, the board can consider as that starts going forward. Once the meter goes in the ground, we don't have any control about how it gets used. So even though it's required for fire suppression, if you have a 3/4 inch meter, you can put more water through your meter than a 5/8 and 3/4 inch meter can. So it would be fair to charge the 3/8 inch meter charge for those meters. At the same time, the board might consider, well, we don't think they're going to be using their meters any different. They're really more like 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters, but we're just being forced to put a larger meter on due to this fire flow condition. So we want to charge them the 5/8 by 3/4. I've seen both of those.
Well, my question would be is because of the fire flow requirement, any new customer is in other words, the 5/8 is going to phase out as far as buy-in. There won't be any more. There will not be any more 5/8 buy-in. It will all be 3/4 buy-in.
It'll still be a long time before those who represent your main meter. Like, you have so many already in the ground that are 5/8 by 3/4. Your primary meter, the basis for the analysis would still be the 5/8 by 3/4. So the next steps would be to approve and accept the capacity fee study, then to adopt the new capacity fee. So this is much nicer than the rate study. No 218 process is required. This is instead just a normal fee update, which you know, you have to post and update. And then you can annually review. Again, like I discussed, you can choose to inflate it. We've seen customers choose to inflate it with the DNR or with Andy Whitman so that it doesn't lag behind inflation over time. Or another thing that could cause you to want to consider updating it is if it becomes known that you're going to have a major, like a master plan, somebody's going to be doing a lot of new connections, you might want to update your analysis to ensure, well, it's going to be way more than 10, which is what we're anticipating. Instead, it's going to be 30, 40, 50, something like that. One other thing to consider is this is a capacity fee only. There's a separate part that can occur, which is a developer fee. If somebody's connecting somewhere that's not already near one of the mains, and you have to build specific infrastructure to run the water out to them, like you have to run a new main an extra mile somewhere to get this new connection in, you can negotiate with that person who's coming in, say in addition to the capacity fee, you would need to pay for that infrastructure for us to connect you. So this doesn't limit your ability to, in unique circumstances, ensure that the water district remains full.
How does this come down with surrounding areas?
We didn't do that analysis. Generally speaking, this is one lower, it's in the middle of what we see for connection fees. They're smaller districts, so you should anticipate here.
So I'm just wondering like how this compares with like Banning versus like, oh, if I was looking to buy a property, you know, it's cheaper to connect out here, but like, you know, how much different?
Yeah, we didn't look into the surrounding areas. And again, just like in the rate study, this represents the ceiling for what you can charge. So should the district choose to have a lower fee, that's wholly up to the little board. It would mean you wouldn't be recouping the cost for new customers, but if you're interested in driving development, we see a lot of cities choose not to do their full capacity charge simply because they want more.
Can we pull up the table that has what our current rates are?
Sure, so, let's remember that 8136. So currently it's right around 68, the part that we're replacing, 68.50. Right, because we're only replacing the first two columns. So it's the 3650 plus the 3200. So for that.
I'm just looking at the total charges, right? So if I was currently, if I was to install a 5/8, the first one, a 5/8, it would cost me $8,020.
Right. So.
And with this new rate, it would be
$8,136. We're keeping this part, we're only replacing this part. So this part, which together is 6,850, this is the part that's going to be cut.
The service connection charge, that's where we're going to go out and dig the trench.
Oh, it's this time of year. So that's from the line to the house, right? From the
street.
So yeah, this is the part that's being replaced. You'll notice this part doesn't scale with the meter size. That's one of the reasons that it's important.
So for like a 1-inch
now, so a 1-inch now is like 11 or 12.
That's 20.
all of the values are scaling with the community scales.
So if I'm looking at this sheet, right, which is not the 8,000 right here,
this
is replacing both those.
Yes.
Okay. So for a 1-inch now, it's 20,000 versus.
Oh, for a 1-inch now, it's 12,250. Yeah. Right? 12. So it's going to 20. Because this part had a component that didn't scale with your size, and now everything's scaled.
So we're keeping, so it's all these plus the connect service.
Oh, that's
okay.
So I just back figured, so I got a quick question.
Yes.
So it looks to me, unless I'm reading it wrong, it does not substantially change. I'm reading it wrong.
Well, so for your 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter, you're going from like 6,000 to 8,000, which, percentage-wise, that's pretty substantial.
I can appreciate that.
But for the larger meters, it's a far more substantial increase.
Right, that's
yeah. And in particular for the really large meters.
Yes.
Which you don't have anything in here for the in the table for anything bigger than a 2-inch, but that's really and. The thing to remember is that one 12-inch meter is equivalent to 265 meters, which you only have 861 houses in your system right now. So one 12-inch meter is like a 25% increase. So that's a substantial cost to the district, and you would want to recover the cost necessary to feed a 12-inch meter, which is why it needs to scale.
I understand that.
How big is that?
The 12 inch at the mall?
Kevin?
10.
The meter at the mall, what size is it?
10
inch.
8
inch.
8.
He's got the 12.
He goes from 6 to 12.
So there is one 12 inch in the system.
Where is it at?
Yeah, where's it at?
Gives you know, Robertson's or?
I think it was supposed to be for Desert Hills.
Oh, okay. It either has an 8-inch or...
It does not have an 8-inch.
Right.
Not Desert Hills.
It's a 12. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other stores, the Cabazon Outlets, I would presume they're on 6-inch meter.
That's good. Yeah.
What's that?
Who has the 12-inch?
That's Desert Hills. Okay. There's two malls over there. Cabazon Outlets is another mall. So it's on the 6-inch meter.
I believe so.
All right.
So the cost now to do a 5/8 would be 9,376. I'm taking the total capacity charge per meter plus that first table, plus the connection tree, correct?
Yes.
Do we have that anywhere here that we could look at? What it's
like
total
combine,
now
no.
versus total then?
Because, so, and I... There are different types of charges. So the capacity fee charge, which is what our analysis represents, some of the revenue is restricted and it's representing their buying to the total system. And the service connection charge is time and material. So because we were focused on the capacity fee charge, what we're showing is the total capacity fee charge.
Basically, what he's doing is he's restructuring how it was presented. Where it said the meter charge is 8,000 and change. Now we're taking the maintenance of the installation cost off. Your meter charge is $8,064 plus installation of the meter.
Correct.
So I'm just trying to see how much it is now for somebody to install with everything off the end of the day versus
The other thing to consider is your installation charge is time and materials, and it might need an update based off of the cost of the meters, which you can do in-house as an analysis of a 5-inch by 3/4 cost this, a 3/4 cost this. That's another fee you should consider updating to make sure that when you're putting in the meter, you're recovering at least the cost of the meter for the new connected customer.
Well, I think that the wording were changed to be a new meter charge is this plus installation costs.
Right.
So if that, it was done in that position.
So it, because it's a charge, because it's a fee, you're obligated to publish the fee and follow all the Prop 64 requirements for any type of fee change. So you can't just say time and materials. You need to know what your costs are and you need to publish them. But that's more minor analysis because you know what your current meter costs are because you're buying them. So that's an update that you could make.
So now a residential single family, whatever, small, about the 5 weeks.
Right, by 3/4.
Is about
$9,000.
Now.
Oh, now it's $8,000.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
Approximately, it's a little over $8,000.
Yes.
And it's going to over $9,000.
Correct.
Okay.
It's 80 total.
I don't need exact.
Yeah.
Eight the total?
The eight is the total right now. So it's $8,000 right now.
Can you pull it back up? So, okay, so now is $8,000 after this bill for regular house will be $9,000.
9306. Okay.
And then for 3/4, it's now 9830, and that's going to be 13,300.
Right, and you can see that the service charge is not inflating a great deal by meter size, and I can tell you that the cost of a 2-inch meter is a great deal greater than the cost of a 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter. So, should you do that update, you will see again more scaling as the meters get larger.
Who have any idea what gets crazy when you get up to the bigger ones? So, like, who has a 2-inch? Would that be Dollar General,
we said has a 1-inch. Right, I mean, again, it's important to look at the ratio here. Mm-hmm. So a 2-inch meter is like 8 5/8 by 3/4 inch meters. So if you think about the amount of water that a house uses, if you're on a 2-inch meter, you're using 8 times that amount. So you're a large water user. It's substantial.
But there is really not, there's very little. Most of those are residents that have 2-inch meters since forever back then.
So, and some of that is like a related to irrigation. So what happens is you put a big meter in, not because you need a lot of continuous flow, but because occasionally you need a whole lot of flow, right? And so those types of meters, again, those types of meters that where they don't use a lot of water and they occasionally use a lot of water, those are, from the water district's point of view, those are the most difficult types of customers. So high volatility is, from your point of view, bad. And so, again, that's why you want to charge your reference.
Yeah,
and
for something like that, we're going to make $30,000 more or something like 2-inch meters.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to
hear.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
I do want to thank you. This is very difficult. Yeah. Not just understand, but to put this together and do this. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any more questions, comments? So do I have a motion to approve? Disapprove?
Is it appropriate, right? And he's asking, I move that we approve this analysis by
NBS.
NBS.
So basically, I need a motion to adopt the capacity charge model as fees related to the new services.
Yeah. So that could potentially
be. One tiny question. When was the last time we updated our capacity charge?
So.
2009.
Well, so you can see this is what the document looks like.
Well, I know the document looked old. That was like
2009.
I think it was 2009.
It was 2003.
Is it 2003?
I want to be like in the late 90s.
It's been a long time.
And there potentially there are two, and not to step on the thing, there are two things that you could do a motion for. One would be to approve the study, and one would be to approve the rates. Separate the two things as two different motions. So you could approve the study and continue to discuss the rates over more meetings because it's fun.
Let me know when you're ready.
Can I second it?
I move that we review, adopt the Cabazon water capacity charge model and fees related to the new services by MDS.
Is that adopting all the recommendations here that we're going to do this annually? Is that something we're contractually obligated to do? Oh, that's just a recommendation.
Basically, that's okay.
We're doing what his first recommendation was.
Make a motion.
It's all right.
No, just a question. I second it.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a motion to adopt the Cabazon Water Capacity Charge Model and Fees Relating to New Services, made by Director Sanderson, second by Director Wargo. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Okay, we're going to move back into the previous agenda, the closed session. Were you done for anything? I have to get my stuff. Do you have anything else you were going to present to us?
Yeah, I don't have anything for.
Okay, we're going to move into closed session at 7:04. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to take a point of pleasure. Or, Mr. Henry, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're our understanding. Okay. We'll take a 10-minute restroom. Coffee.
I'm going to do my bad.